You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
I can't say life's a bitch because of what you make of me.
Hello and welcome to the TFM Podcast. This is J-Train, Jared Freed, coming to you live from New York City's Upper West Side, Stand Up New York Labs. We're here every Tuesday with your emails, your stories, your questions. Keep sending them in. TFMpodcast@gmail.com. TFMpodcast@gmail.com. We're loving it. I know you guys are going home for the, you know, for the summer from college, or maybe you're in your job and you got some new interns coming in. Keep spreading the word. Keep telling people about this podcast. I love the growth. We're getting huge. The questions keep getting better and better. I'm super excited about today's guest because he's coming back.
Buddy,
it's good to have you back.
This is a big deal.
Jimmy Failla, everybody. You loved him and you wanted him back again. If you go back and listen to his episode from before, it was one of our best, most responsive. People loved it.
Things have changed since then, though.
Oh, yeah?
I want you to call me Caitlin.
Okay.
Hey, there it was.
Boom.
This guy's working topical.
He does it right
Where
out of the gate.
Where did they find this guy?
Jimmy Failla. You can find him on Twitter, at Jimmy Failla. Go back and listen to the episode we did before. People wanted you.
A smash hit. Listen, we don't really know what we're talking about on my end, on the Failla end of things, but we deal in sincerity. It's from the heart, people.
I love
I'm telling you because I care.
Since the podcast, you know, we've seen each other. He kills on stage. You got to go.
Fun.
Check him out. So
this is too much of a buildup, though. We need to calm it down.
There's a lot of
everyone appreciates
on it
your enthusiasm. Like, yo, this guy's gonna cure cancer. When he's done the Middle East, there'll be no problem. I mean, it's a lot.
One podcast for the rest of the
folks,
for the world.
I went to community college. Can we all lower our expectations now?
Listen, you can find Jimmy. He's gonna be on the Jim Gaffigan Show, which is coming.
It's on TV Land and Comedy Central.
Okay, Comedy. It's a double.
It airs on TV Land first, and then Comedy Central re-airs it.
They're gonna do the reruns.
And I got one of those big parts.
What's your part?
You know, coming to the stage, he's a very funny man.
Oh, you
give it up for Jim. I do
you're
a couple
just the
of those.
Host at Gotham?
Yeah, a couple of those.
Awesome.
Then there's a couple of scenes where he's like cursing out people and I'm in the background.
Okay, great. So they can put the face with a name. Also, if you want to put some faces with names, you can go to the Daily Motion website, go to Labs Live, and you can watch this as it's happening. Right now, look at everyone in internet land or out there.
And you know what else is hot? Like for college kids, I'm on a show on Fox Business twice a week,
okay,
which is huge for college kids. I mean,
isn't?
You know, every time they go to commercial, there's either a reverse mortgage, an adult diaper,
Fox Business,
a chairlift. Yeah, it's right. Fox News, Fox Business, same channel. I'm on the Kennedy Show. And it airs at 8 o'clock and it airs at midnight.
You did a funny thing where you were eating.
Oh, eating food?
The food.
That's kind of my wheelhouse. That,
they brought you on to eat the most caloric
meal. It was a Red Lobster meal. It was a 4,800 calorie meal, which I just wolfed down.
Eat this and I was like, oh, this is kind of disgusting.
It's not cool. But it's also not the kind of invite I get insulted by.
Well, no.
Because I do like the food, but I understand that it represents something about my aesthetic. Like, you can tell.
They could have helped you out with turning down the mic while you were chewing.
No, they wanted that.
They wanted
it to get
effect
in. They wanted a splash cam. Things happen.
Jimmy's got a book out. Go check it out if you need some summer reading.
There it is.
What's it called?
Follow that car.
Okay. And give us the premise.
A cabbie's guide to conquering fears, achieving dreams, and finding a public restroom.
You drove a cab.
Drove a taxi in New York City, like full-fledged yellow cab. The box cutter, the turban, like I'm in.
You had it
straight
all.
Straight ISIS. I know every plot
what you
going
want,
down.
Buddy?
That, all of it.
Yeah.
All of it. And the book takes place in the 9 months that I drove a cab full-time in New York City, and it consists of the best life advice I was given about dating.
So people just would
like
give
that
you advice as a cab driver?
That's how stuff that would feel come up. You know what happens as
that's
a cab driver.
That's how above cab drivers people feel, that they're like, let me just give this guy advice.
No, no, it's not that. It's funny. People get in and they recognize a cab driver as a form of cheap therapy. That's really where you get all your intel from, is they get in and they want to dump their problems on you.
Just because you're there and a listening
ear. And through talking about their issues, this is where you kind of get your hands on advice. It's not as bad as it sounds. Like, they get in and go,
they're like, oh, white guy driving.
We can get you out of this. It's clearly not going well.
Yeah.
It's not working out.
Well, listen, go check out the book, Follow That Car. This actually relates to our first question. We're going to get right into the emails, tfmpodcast@gmail.com. This one is called, I hate my job, J-Train, love the podcast, keep it up. I sit in my cube every day and I hate it. How do you get away from a job you hate but don't know what to do next? Do I just quit and take the summer off? Help a guy out. You do more than you realize. I hate my job.
Serious,
he repeated
though.
Himself.
I love that.
I hate my job.
It's become a catchphrase, though. Yeah. I think we found his next career. He's like a catchphrase guy.
Catchphrase writer.
Print that t-shirt. Get moving. That might be the side piece right there.
I hate my job on the front, and then on the back, this dick ain't sucking itself. There it is. What do you do when you hate your job? I mean, what's the worst job you ever had?
Driving in cabs.
That was the worst.
The end.
Why was it
your
so bad?
Your soul is in a fetal position for 12 hours a day.
Is it the lack of respect?
It's not that.
I was once in a cab with my aunt and like her boyfriend.
Okay.
And the boyfriend kept like he didn't even live here.
Uh-huh.
You know, like he didn't even live in New York City. And he yelled at this cab driver at every turn. Like, he was like, you went that way! And I'm like, I've lived here 8 years. Like, I know, like, whatever he's doing is 10 cents.
Yeah, yeah.
Is nothing. The difference?
It's
like,
nothing.
And maybe he's right.
Well, again, two things. A cab driver is a form of cheap therapy. It's also like you're an emotional pinata.
Yeah.
Most people get in and scream at a cab driver, not because of anything he did, but because whoever they were just talking to, what they weren't allowed to scream at.
Yeah.
You know, if you meet someone on the street and they're just like, you're a fucking asshole. Yeah. They don't know you.
Yeah,
it's
just that
they didn't have the balls to say it to who they wanted to.
To the real
projection.
Asshole. Yeah.
And that's what makes that job a challenging job, is that people are always dumping stuff on
you. You're dealing with that person's last emotional issue.
Every time. And you know what you don't realize until you deal with the public? There's a lot of people in society that are making it because they're heavily medicated.
Okay.
And you don't realize how high of a percentage that is
until
you deal with the public every day and see them without being medicated. Because there's some real shit going on. People will get in and speak to you in what they claim to be English.
Yeah.
You don't fucking follow any of it.
Yeah.
And then have you ever been yelled at in gibberish?
No.
No, for real. Like a guy slides the partition over, is like, "Mashuga sugar, shmugga sugar." And you're like, wait, what? And that's real.
Thing.
And it's a guy that would speak English, but his meds wore off. And he's fucked up. And he has an actual brain lapse.
What made you, I mean, you know, if you hated that job.
Yeah, it got old.
What was your...
out.
Like, what was your out? Like, what made you move on? Like, what got you out of there?
I started, it's persistence. If you really do hate it, you got to want it to do anything in life.
Yes.
So if you hate it that much, you'll never stop exploring options that will get you out of there.
Okay.
Basically, what happened. Like, I wound up getting a writing job.
Yeah.
Where I wrote a fucking nasty email. This is what happened. They were, you know, it's a great story. You know, Ted Wells. The guy
who did the Wells report.
Yes, who did the Wells report.
Yeah.
Ted Wells and his kid.
A NFL fan, if you don't know.
He did the Wells report, which suspended Tom Brady from the NFL.
Yes.
Ted Wells and his kid started a startup here in the city.
Okay.
Someone sent me an ad for it. It's a sketch comedy, sports-driven
startup.
First of all,
I wouldn't have believed this story until I saw Ted Wells on TV.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to be like this meek...
No.
Like, attorney type? No,
no.
He's got some swag. He's got the dyed beard.
Things are going on.
Yeah, this guy wants to be famous.
Ted Wells is a player in the game.
Yeah. So he started a sketch.
They started a sports-driven sketch comedy website.
That's ridiculous.
With a big splashy ad in Craigslist for this billion-dollar studio.
I'm totally pissed about the Brady suspension.
This is where it went down, though. Billion-dollar studio, state-of-the-art everything, looking for unpaid writers.
Unpaid.
So I was sitting in my cab and I wrote like, if time allows, there's no way I leave here without showing you this email.
Okay.
I wrote them listen, you fuck. You know what I mean? For real, because when you're driving a cab, you have nothing to lose.
Yeah.
We'll quote Bob Dylan, you have nothing to lose.
Yeah.
If you're getting up to drive a cab at 3:30 in the morning, you know what I mean? You're out of timeouts with a minute to go in the game and you're down big points. You gotta get resourceful.
Yeah.
So I wrote, like, listen to fuck you. You say it's big sketch thing, big money, but in the same breath, you tell me the writers aren't paid. They're the only thing that matters. Fuck you. Basically, I got into a series of situations because I wanted to get out of that job where I started firing shots into the night sky.
Okay.
Other gigs. I mean, with this guy.
But you knew you wanted to be a comedic writer.
I was doing comedy on some level.
Okay.
Like, you know, Friday night you're at a firehouse.
Understandable.
Like,
I mean, yeah, I've been there.
You're doing comedy.
I'm there. No, come on. You're talking to someone doing that.
Stop
I was at a temple
We've all
last
been there.
Thursday.
Of course. Well, that's the other thing in comedy, though. People don't understand this because they really could see you, the J Train, at Foxwoods
this weekend.
Mega theater, 5,000 people.
I'll be at Foxwoods Casino this
5,000 people. But the way comedy works is you might also on Monday be doing a bris.
I was at Penemple Benet something in Orange County, New Jersey last Thursday.
You got to play the
for
teams
25
on
25 people my parents age.
You got to play the teams on the schedule.
Yes.
That's just how it works.
Well, I think that's what you're saying is the advice.
Yes.
Like, I've been in that position, same as you. I was working in finance, hated it.
Yep.
But what your job allows you to do is to sit there.
Yep.
It gives you a place to think.
Yes, you do.
So you should never leave your job until you know what you want to do. So you knew you wanted to do comedy.
That's
so while you knew you wanted to do comedy, you were sitting there firing off shots at Ted Wells for whatever reason.
Listen, Ted,
let me tell you how I feel about you, because like you said, there was nothing to lose by shooting off that flare.
The only thing that could happen is you could be stuck at this job.
Yes.
So if you want to get out bad enough, you got to make moves,
You're
man.
Fucked either way.
Yes.
You know, so I do, but the advice, I mean, I said, I remember, this isn't the advice isn't to go do comedy. The advice is to be at your job and take time every day thinking, what do I love to do?
And that's a
what
good
answer. What do I love to do? And what makes me feel the best?
Uh-huh.
Somebody
now this guy's jerking off in his cubicle.
Yeah, now
good job, Jared.
Just what makes me feel the best as you put your hand up and down in a jerking motion. No, but I'm saying, what makes you feel totally good? I remember what I told, you know, when I was going through this thought process of should I leave my job, I was like, I just love the feeling of when my friends tell me that I wrote them a funny email.
Oh, there you go.
Like, that is a genuine thing that I felt. And this might not be the case for you. Maybe you feel great when you create a great t-shirt. I don't know what it is, but whatever that is, whatever you feel good about doing, somebody's out there making money at it.
They definitely are.
Like, even if it's like, oh, I feel good when I preach the word of God.
Yeah.
Like, which you would think, no money is made from that. Then you go look at Joel Alstein. Do you know what I mean? Like,
big
he's
Scott
a billionaire. So, like, but I think the thing that gets you, that sucks, especially in your first job, is that you're in this world, this little bubble of your first job, whatever the industry is, whether it's finance or PR or you're in a coal mine. You think that there is only one way to make $100,000, and it's that way.
No, they don't understand.
Because you'll be at your office and you'll be like, well, there's only one guy talking about how he makes $100,000 a year.
No.
And you're like, that's the only way. No, there's somebody is making money doing everything.
Yo, have you ever been to Tijuana? Guy sent me this email. Jared literally means everything.
Everything.
If you can Google it, if you can conceptualize it, someone's being paid to do it.
So, I mean, the advice is to first...
Take your job, the time you spend at your job.
Yes.
Figure out what you love.
Figure out what you love.
And spend time at work pursuing it.
Because
here's another thing.
You're getting paid to do your shitty job while also throwing out flair. So,
Double duty.
You know, you can do what you did, show the email Ted Wells. Or what I did, I started writing, you know, my column every Thursday and I'm submitting it. So while that was happening, I was also, you know, still at this job. And then when things even out, maybe there's a point where the jump off occurs.
One quick thing, and this is what he needs, and this is definitely what he definitively needs to do.
Yeah.
He mentioned whether he should quit or take the summer off.
He's saying, should I quit, take the summer off, to think about it, which is the worst.
That's not responsible. You're not going to do anything responsible.
You're going to sit at home and you're going to get yelled at for not having a job.
But listen to me. If you're going to take the summer off, make it worth taking off.
Totally.
You know what I mean? It's like they say, if you're going to eat a 10,000 calorie meal, enjoy the 10,000 calorie meal.
That's what they
just
said
don't
to you
take it.
I'm Kennedy.
No, that's what I said to myself. Are you kidding me? When they went to break, they're like, you can share it with the crew. I was like, fuck the crew.
Yeah.
I drove home, I'm eating this food. No, it was nice. I gave them food. But the point is, for this guy, it's really worth mentioning. If he takes the time that he's spending at work to start working on another gig, the worst case scenario is he will get fired. Most people in a shitty job would never quit it. It's like a abusive relationship.
Yeah.
You won't walk away from it. But if it gets taken away from you, you're going to be oddly relieved. So I'm not saying go out, and I'm not saying photocopy your balls at the company mixer.
I'm just
saying,
just be apathetic.
Aggressively pursue these other opportunities, because a best case scenario is you get one of them. A worst case scenario is you might get thrown out of this job with some type of severance.
Yeah.
Then you've got that summer thing on your hands.
The other thing about that is that if you hate your job, you obviously hate your industry. So it's not like you're like keeping on.
Yeah.
You don't want to understandably, you want to keep things nice and you don't want to like, you know, have the boss write an email to whoever you get your next job with being like, this guy fucking sucks. Like, you can't be that bad.
Yeah.
But I agree with the advice totally. Like, you got to know. But the first thing is, have a conversation with yourself every day. It might not come today.
Uh-huh.
It might not come tomorrow. But
no.
A year from now, you might be like, that's the thing I love.
And
that's the thing I want to do. And it's okay to not figure that out right away.
No, but definitely have the conversation by yourself, but don't do it out loud.
Yes.
That's another thing. Unless you really want out of this job. I mean, if you want out bad enough.
TFMpodcast@gmail.com. TFMpodcast@gmail.com. We're here with Jimmy Failla, @Jimmy Failla on Twitter. Go check him out. He's got a book out. Follow That Cab. Awesome.
Come on.
Bring it.
This is a big deal.
Scratch problems. Dear J Idiot, fuck your podcast.
Love it.
Good start. Now that we have that out of the way, let's discuss. I've been smashing this girl once or twice a week for a few months now. It's a great system, and I have no complaints on that front. Okay.
All right.
However, when we fuck, she scratches my back like crazy as well as give me hickeys. I don't like hickeys, but while we're fucking, I don't really notice that, and I don't think to stop her scratching. This wouldn't really bother me, but recently I joined the dive team at my school, so I'm in a Speedo a lot of the time. I don't want to go to practice when I have scratches all over my back. What should I do?
I love this guy.
This guy's great.
You can't really get her to Claude. That's kind of huge.
Yeah, yeah. You can't bring her to the vet.
That's not good.
We're going to need to take a trip to the vet. Yeah. What?
Assuming she's a girl.
Yeah.
Listen to me.
Have you ever been with a girl that did a lot of scratching and stuff like that?
Yeah, and I want to say this. First of all, congratulations. The guy's having great sex.
Yeah, he's having fun.
There's nothing you like more than a girl that you're really fighting a ground war. Yeah. You know what I mean? You fear for your life at some points during the experience. You found the best kind.
Breaking skin.
I mean, my first option for this guy is to propose wearing bodysuits to the swim team,
because
I don't want to walk away from the sexual situation.
Of course, you don't want to calm her down so much that she's like, self conscious about it.
You don't want to take out an ingredient.
Yes,
think of the Commodores after Lionel Richie left. That's a good reference.
Exactly.
For college kids.
Right? Everyone here, just pause to be Google fair. Who the Commodores
I know.
Are.
Yeah. No, I'm kidding. But to be fair, it's like Zayn leaving One Direction.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Course.
Some of these things are great because of the sum
of
the parts.
It's a cake without flour.
There
it
is.
There you
love
go.
It. I intentionally, by the way, was making that Commodores reference. Miss.
Yes. Please.
I just don't want you to look at me like
set me up. You're
old Jimbo here. I'm a little worried about the champ tonight. I don't know if he has it.
Listen, you're doing a good job.
All right, I feel all right. But let me say this. This girl, in terms of the scratches, if you tell her you can't have scratches or hickeys, her immediate reaction is going to be one of suspicion, because she's going to think there's another girl in your life.
Yeah.
So he isn't a pretty, I mean.
Oh my God, I never even thought of that.
Yeah, and to think about this, he probably has a schedule of swim meets.
Yes.
You dig? So you might want to space sex out around.
Space the sex around the. Around.
You know, boxers aren't allowed to have sex before matches.
Yeah, I think what he has to do. I actually once hooked up with a girl who would bite my face, and I was like, "What the fuck? Like, where? Like, my cheek,
for
and it
real?
Really fucking hurt. Like, it, like it got carried away where I was like, so like I think you have to treat this like. The thing with like ass play is like everyone, you like when you go to test ass play, you want to be with a girl that when you touch her ass, she does a subtle move. If you're watching at home, you can see the subtle move that
you
I
want
did.
The cat button.
Yeah,
you know, the cat. Yeah, okay.
You want like a little jilt every time you touch the ass, but you don't want her to lean into it.
Yeah, it's
you
a
know,
problem.
Like it's like you want a virgin that's good with her tongue, but that doesn't exist. You know, so you want to hook up with a girl that when you propose ass play, which is just taking your finger and putting it towards the anus, you want her to like move just a little, but you don't want her running from the room, because that tells you I'm never doing that again.
Yeah, it's over.
So I think what he needs to do is the ass play version of this,
okay,
which is anytime she scratches, you need to jilt a little bit more. You need to not lean into the scratches, because that shows you love it.
So she knows. But
so she knows that like this is too hard. So you need. It's kind of like when the dentist is going into you, and you don't want to say that it hurts what they're doing, but you kind of do the thing, like you move your mouth. Hey, you know, like you back away. So they're like, oh, is that too much? And you just go, a little.
Yeah.
And then so you're not having this huge production of a conversation where it's like, listen, babe, love the sex, hate everything you do during the sex, because that will ruin it. What you're saying is true. Like you're gonna put that that really, it's like when someone, like last night I did a show and I was hosting and it was at a club in the city that maybe when you see it, you're like, am I getting screwed over? Do you know what I mean? You ever been to those clubs?
That club, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm at this club, and I'm like, and I'm hosting, and like you could tell, like the audience was laughing at my jokes, but they were taking that extra second before they laughed to go to like think like, am I being fucked here? Do you know what I mean? Like, is my money being stolen? And then they're like, but that was a good joke. I'm gonna laugh now. You know, like, so you need. If you have that conversation with her where you're like, stop the scratching, stop the hicking, you're putting that thought in her head before she does anything.
Yes.
So you don't want that to happen. You just need her to get the picture of like when she does it too hard, you're moving away.
Yes.
And when she does it just right, you're leaning in.
It's a great way to articulate that too. If you're in bed with a chick like that, is to just get yourself out of the situation rather than how you react to it.
Yeah.
Take control of the situation. Don't get your back scratched.
Because
what I mean is right now there's a lot of back scratching, there's a lot of hickeys, but if he's taking control physically and not letting her get in a position to do it to them,
yes.
Other things might become the priority.
Oh, so you become the more dominant.
Yeah.
Like reverse the roles.
Is a great example. If you're young, you're fooling around with a girl, if she goes down on you, you know you're coming instantaneously.
Yes.
Okay. You get her out of there. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's the same type of situation.
Yeah,
you gotta reposition. This is a geography
issue. Control the situation.
Yeah, you don't want it to go away because there are going to be nights when you don't have a swim meet.
Yes.
So you don't want to just kill it off and vote it off the island.
You just
want to have nights where if you know the swim meet's coming up, you're having strategic encounters.
Yeah, you got to plot this a little bit better.
Yeah, you got to make sure LeBron catches the ball 30 feet from the rim.
Yeah.
You don't want him getting the ball in the paint or you're screwed.
And then after you have sex, just be like, you know, give her a little thumbs up, like, good job, LeBron. And she won't have any idea what you're fucking talking about. She'll think you got, like, a LeBron fantasy. TFMpodcast@gmail.com. TFMpodcast@gmail.com. We're with Jimmy Failla, crushing it per
year. Come on, we're having a hoot.
Oh, love it. Increasing Rush. Hey, J-Dog, Wolfstack. Anybody know what that reference is?
I don't, no.
I went with it.
Okay, fine. Recent listener here, huge fan, seeking advice on fraternity rushing. I come from a small D3 private school where I love our Greek life, but it's so hard to get people to rush. We have 6 fraternities, and rush across the board is very low. I'm a freshman social chair and our IFC PR chair looking to make a change in the system. My question is, what can I do to get people interested in Greek life in a society where fraternities are getting more and more flack every day? Keep it sleazy. What do you think?
I honestly think they should own the lifestyle. There's a lot of things fraternities are being made to apologize for that they shouldn't apologize for.
Oh, go on, please.
You know, and that's a big thing in our society right now is we're demonizing a lot of things and everybody is so scared to be on the wrong side of the mob.
Yes.
But if a lot of Greek life really is camaraderie and parties and fucking fun, yeah, that's great.
Own those things.
Yeah, own it. Don't be like, oh, yeah, we had a beer mixer. We're so sorry.
No, fuck it. Oh, man, that's a guy.
Own it.
I actually wrote down... Uh-huh. That advice.
Listen to me.
Exactly. Yeah.
No one gets famous. No one advances their career. Nobody wins over America by apologizing.
Totally agree.
You know what I mean?
Weakness.
You can't cater to these people.
Also, the more you apologize, the more people keep asking, what else are they doing wrong?
It's a big problem in this country is that the people you're apologizing to wouldn't want anything to do with this life anyway.
Totally agree.
So it's not, you're changing your lifestyle to appease the people that are never going to be a part of it anyway.
I 100% agree. And also, here's the thing, what he wrote in his email. Anytime when he goes, here's where I just highlighted. He wrote, interested in Greek life in a society.
Yeah.
Fuck that, dude.
Fuck,
shut up. Anyone who says the word society in a society
no.
is immediately insane to
Gone.
Me.
Gone.
In this society today, like you're immediately crazy. Stop blaming the world. You live in a very small niche group that is great and fun and awesome and can be used for a lot of positivity. You do community service.
Yep.
You're having fun. You guys are all getting good grades. Live that and make it bigger.
Own it.
So, you know,
throw
stop
the
blaming the world. Life sucks. There's always going to be a reason things don't happen.
Yep.
You can't, and just like you're saying, you can't live for those worlds. So my advice is show that you get the joke.
Yeah.
So show that you get who you are.
Be self-aware.
Ridiculous. Create events.
I was going to say ridiculous.
Yes.
Maybe even create events that are acknowledging what they would say is the elephant in the room.
Totally
agree.
What I mean? Yes. And the people you will attract to your fraternity as the person trying to get people to rush are the people you want.
Yes.
The ones that get the joke.
Self-aware people.
The people that don't get the joke you don't even want in the first place.
Remember this. Even the people that you could piss off, like you get on the wrong end of the Twitter mob for 3
yeah,
days.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We don't have an attention span in this country. So when we're done being mad at whoever we're mad at today, their life goes back to normal. It's going to be fine.
Yeah.
You're going to get called a douchebag for 3 days, and the world's going to move on. We don't have an attention span.
You know who always does the best when they're called the douchebag? The guy that doesn't listen to the douchebag callers. Like,
the guy doesn't say sorry.
Someone was, they saw on my Twitter, someone like, talk shit.
Uh-huh.
I love this podcast. The last episode we did with the guys who created Total Frat Move, and we talked a lot about this, how like they were guys that got the joke, and then, you know, this is all like pointing fun at the ridiculousness of this world, and you know, beyond college, if you're not in a fraternity, just knowing that you're a part of this greater joke that's fun to do.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, That's where we're all trying to get to. Like, you're all just trying to have a fun time.
Yes.
You know, and you need to show that with an event that pokes fun at the thing that you're doing. Like, if you did a huge event, like we used to do, in my, we used to do a bar crawl.
Okay.
For my fraternity was known as like the WASPy fraternity. Okay. Even though I'm Jewish. I was the one, but there was, we were the fraternity that wore like the pink, you know, pop collar.
Okay.
And the khakis.
You guys were pretty.
Yeah, you know, a little pretty you guys boys, were whatever. Pretty. But what we would do, you know, we knew it. Yeah. And we, and like, you know, there's every house has its rumors. Yeah, so our rumor was that to get in, our fraternity checked your tax return.
I like that.
Is so ridiculous to think that a group of 18 to 22 year old guys have the ability to check tax returns on people's parents. So if you believe that, you're a fucking idiot. You know what I mean? Like, if you're a college age kid who believes that, you are out of your mind and you belong on Crazy Town Island.
And that's the type of person you'd be catering to.
Exactly.
By giving up ownership of your lifestyle.
So
throw
the
fastball.
So what we would do is any chance we got to create an event around us looking WASPy, we would go WASPier.
Yeah, go bigger.
So we would do a bar crawl every year where we walked around in suits, like in like seersucker suits. Like I would wear like six pop collars.
Oh, I love it.
Do you know what I mean? Not just one pop collar. You got to go six it up, you know? So
stop apologizing.
I think what this guy needs to do to create great rush events that are fun, enthusiastic, but also poke fun at the thing that people would poke fun at. Like, own it. TFMpodcast@gmail.com. TFMpodcast@gmail.com. We're here with Jimmy Failla. Go check out his book, Follow That Car. He's going to be on the Jim Gaffigan Show that's on Nick at Night.
These are
TV Land.
TV Land, man. Watch the Kennedy Show, man.
Watch the Kennedy. You're good on
show, man.
We got a lot of Fox News fans here. I love that channel.
Do they check in
FX, why not?
Man.
So also, you can find me. I'm selling T-shirts. I'm doing comedy shows. If you want to follow me, jtraincomedy.com. That's jtraincomedy.com. Also, we're here at Stand Up New York every Tuesday. They have the labs up top. They have a comedy club downstairs that is fantastic.
There's a lot going on here.
Lots going on. Go to Stand Up. If you're taking a trip to New York City this summer, you can go to standupny.com, use the promo code TFM, get free tickets to any show here at the club.
Stop it. That just happened.
That's what us Jew call a deal.
That's
okay?
A move.
Go do that. Standupny.com. You can also go to standupnylabs.com. Check out all the great podcasts that they're putting on here. Here's another thing I'd like you to do now that we're in this, this part of the show. iTunes. Go to iTunes, give us a rating of 5 stars. I always ask for this, and I've never really gone and read the ratings and iTunes stuff. Here's one of our reviews. You want to hear one of the reviews?
Oh, boy.
This one's called This Podcast is Tight by Storm and Gorman.
Then
it writes, J Train is a Jew. See, there's a review.
That was me.
Apologize. So you too can rate and review this podcast. I mean, that's a funny review. I'd like that. You can also just give a 5-star with your funny review. And we'll read them here on the podcast. So go check out on iTunes. Also, some shout outs. People like to get some Snapchat. Are you on Snapchat?
A little bit. I mean, as a married guy, the correct answer is no.
So, okay. Do you want to give out your Snapchat?
No,
name?
That's fine. It's okay.
Do you want to give it out?
No, Snapchat. Keep rolling.
You can find me on Snapchat, JTrain56. You can send me some poop pictures. That's what people send me.
They do.
Hey, Jay Schnoozle. Started this awesome account on Instagram where I post skyline pictures from all over the world. The username is @look_up_series. Give me a shout out, please. Enjoy today's episode. So go check out that. That sounds pretty cool.
Skylines.
@look_up_series. Hey, great Jewsby. Can you shout out my Snapchat for some titties? And all I want for my birthday is for you to follow me on Instagram @KWIAFE. @KWIAFE.
Boom.
I can follow him on Instagram.
That's got to happen now.
I got to follow him right now. By the way, the podcast is decent. International listener from London. Jew Train, I'm a part of Pi Kappa Phi's Journey of Hope, which is a summer service trip where we donate the money we raised individually over the past year, along with our time as we bike across America this summer.
Mm.
Seeing that it will be a bunch of dudes wearing spandex 90% of the time, I know a little gay, but hey, it's for a good cause. I'm going to need some distractions. I'm good with shits and tits, but I'd prefer the latter. My Snapchat is Murdaculous. Murdaculous. Murdaculous.
Love it.
Love the podcast, Murdakes. J-Train, I'm a loyal podcast listener, and it's helped me through my college life, so keep up the good work. Snapchat name is Pagano83. Thanks, my man. Keep up the good work. Sup, J-Train. Hope you like that rancid shit-face snap. Give me a Snapchat shout. Jagreppy. J-A-G-R-E-P-I. Need more poops and boobs. Yo, J-Train, send some shits and dicks, no tits, to these fucks. They put me and my friends on sex gay forums last year. Marky, that's hilarious. Marky Mark 2466. That's with Marky with an IE. Marky IE Mark 2466. X Dirty underscore Mike X. Swag underscore Daddy 13. Ty TY Bar 16. So send those guys your shits because that gets back at his buddies.
Frontier Justice.
Chris, write this down for later. Just write down. This kid wants me to follow him. I'll follow him at KWIAFE. So I'll write that down for later. Let's get into some more emails.
Let's do this. We're changing the world here.
You ready?
We're changing the world.
I think
let's
we got the you know goddamn what? World. I actually, there's some high schoolers that email in, and I know people hate this. So I just understand that the high school emails that I read, I think, can relate to anyone else because okay. I relate to them so as a 30-year-old man. So I'm hoping that they – and if you don't think so, let me know. But I think the ones that I choose from high schoolers are things that could work for all ages. So if you disagree or agree, let me know. JTrain56 on all platforms. Hey, JTrain, I'm a senior in high school. I'll be attending the University of Louisville in the fall. My brother just happens to go to Louisville too. Mm. He's in Pike, and I hear it's he is the life of a party a lot of the time. My brother have actually gotten closer since he left for college, and he's always saying that he can't wait until I get there. I was wondering if you have any stories about a duo of brothers tearing it up, and if I ended up being initiated in the same fraternity, what I could expect from this freshman year, freshman-junior duo. He always says that he gets girls, and I'm better looking than him, so I'll get babes. Snapchat shout-out, JackTheMax99, made the username years ago. I wish I could change it. what do you think about him joining
guy.
The... Yeah, he's a good dude.
Has that gone on before for real? Off the top of my head, I can't shout that.
Oh, two brothers joining the
I can't cite that.
That happens
is it common?
All the time. Yeah,
it is common. Do they put up numbers?
Here's what happens. The one dude will join in any situation. Uh-huh. The best rush advice I can give you is to go to the minor leagues.
Yes.
And what I mean is, like, even for that last emailer that wrote about getting rush up, you got to go to your house for the guys in your fraternity and say to them, who's cool that you know that's still in high school.
Yeah.
And I'm sure people are buddies with juniors when they're seniors.
Of course.
And you know, or your brother, like you have a buddy whose younger brother is coming to your school. Like that's where you get the best rushers because you go to the minor leagues and you say, well, I knew this kid in high school. His brother's a good dude.
You gotta have a farm team, man.
You know, you go to the farm team.
You gotta have a farm team.
So here's what I'm saying to this. This happened all the time where you'd get like a guy in the house that was from a certain town. And like our town that was near our fraternity was Scranton, Pennsylvania.
Come on.
And
there were
some people that considered this a sickness that has taken over our house because if you know anything about Scranton, it's a disgusting place.
It's supposed to be where the office is from.
Yes,
where
exactly.
The office is from.
So what would happen, and especially with brothers, younger brothers would come in. That was always great because you just get another version of a guy you already
liked.
Yeah,
you have fun with him. But strategically, right? Is it a novelty act for girls to hook up with both brothers? Well, I don't mean you want to double team a chick with your brother. That's weird.
They don't.
But is it?
I think so. They're absolutely.
I would think that's an advantage.
I mean, for any girl that's like, listen, taking care of the whole team. You know, like that's gonna be fun. But what I think the reason the older brother's excited for him to come, because as a junior, your goal is freshman girls. How do you meet freshman girls?
Oh, you got a
Your freshman brother who's a freshman who can't hook up with them because freshman girls want junior guys.
They do.
So what are you doing? Your brother is just your lure, the bait that you're using to reel in the freshman girl.
This is an actual human trafficking scheme.
Yes.
And then the younger brother's going to remove the kidney as they rest in a tub.
But I'm saying is he can't wait for his brother to come because his brother has just made it, you know,
think
is
about
going
that.
Through all, freshman year is awkward,
yeah.
Okay? Because you're going to be trying very hard to talk to everyone you can to make friends and to talk to girls so you can hook up.
Going, yeah.
The thing as a junior is that using your brother as an awkward buffer.
You're an established commodity.
Exactly. You know you got a room that you've made up with your cool poster that says Brotherhood. Things that's two happening. Dudes carrying another dude. You know, you're very cool and awesome.
Things are happening.
And this guy is just the guy that brings you the chicks. So, of course, he's excited for you to come. Plus, if you're better looking than the brother,
damn,
you're bringing in better
looking
girls.
That's a different caliber of chick.
Yeah, he's bringing in the numbers he can't do on his own.
Oh, I got such a good magic trick about that, too.
Go.
If you're the guy, okay, that the girl doesn't want to fuck, okay, can I say that?
I don't know. If you're the guy.
I get a little cavalier.
Okay, so you're the guy that girls don't want
to
bang.
You're sitting at a party tonight, okay, and you want to hook up with a girl.
Yes.
The easiest way to bang a girl is to get her talking about the guy she wants to fuck. Just get her talking about him, what she likes, what he does, whatever, because girls get themselves so worked up that the only thing missing is a dude, and you're right there.
you're called the just so happens
get
penis.
Get them talking. Yeah.
Just so happens that I have a penis.
Other dude.
Yeah.
That's all this is.
Oh, because what you're saying is you're setting the mood in their mind to get into
it's
a
all
guy
the way
at
there.
All.
They've crossed every threshold in their mind imaginable.
Yes.
They're ready to go. He's not there.
Especially the dude that they're into that isn't into them.
Yeah, it's great.
Because then you're like, well, just so happens.
I only thought of this because of the younger, better-looking brother.
Oh.
If the older dude is their younger, better-looking brother's working an angle.
So I mean, like, you say the angle is for him to be like, yeah, my brother's a cool dude. How good-looking
think about
is my brother, you know?
Everybody knows Sylvester Stallone. He played Rocky.
Yes.
Okay.
Frank
brother
Stallone.
Frank Stallone, yeah. Who probably got a lot of ass by default.
Stallone runoff.
Here's a great example.
Yeah.
If I'm on Fox Business, the people watching are the people who watch when Fox goes to commercial. They drop it a channel and go, oh, let's see what else is on.
Yeah.
Like, ah, is this Jimmy Fallon guy?
Yeah.
And they watch
the
goddamn show. All you sometimes need to be is the guy on the channel below the one they want to watch.
Yes.
Get them talking about the show they want to watch.
Yeah, you are just the next thing.
That's all you are.
Also, some advice for your pledging, it's going to be worse because the brother always got it harder than everyone else because also not just physically, like with all the, you know, the physical pledge stuff that you would have to do, but also everyone will mentally fuck with you that the only reason you got in is because of your brother.
It's like being the coach's son and making the all-star team.
Exactly. Yeah. So it doesn't matter how good you are. People will always have that angle on you. So you have that to look forward to. My advice is to own that.
Yeah,
you know, that's
going
to happen either way. Suspension. TFMpodcast@gmail.com. TFMpodcast@gmail.com. We're running through these emails.
No,
I love it. We're giving great advice. I'm really excited about this episode. Go back and check out all our episodes, guys. If you can go to the SoundCloud page, really helps us out. Go check them out. If you haven't listened to all of them, go backlog.
Yeah.
That's what you do. If you're at the gym. I listen at the gym.
Okay.
I listen on the way, like on the subway, like while I'm traveling.
Mm-hmm.
It's just good background noise,
yeah,
especially when I'm hungover.
It's a companion. It's a hang.
Oh, man. I put on podcasts when I'm hungover, and it's just like let them be my thoughts for the day so I don't have to deal with my own thoughts.
It's a brilliant strategy because you know what it does, too? It keeps your brain active when you don't have the energy to do it yourself.
Totally.
And now your brain's out there looking.
This
one's
called
like when you take a little nap on the couch and people are talking in the kitchen.
Yes. Totally, yeah.
Yeah,
man,
fall asleep
with
the TV on. I love it.
Suspension. Look, J-Tran, let's cut to the chase. I'm in a bit of a predicament. Freshman at a private school. I'm not in a fraternity yet because it can't rush until sophomore year. Our freshman hall was notorious for our antics.
Who's this guy?
Anyone
somebody refer- shot a fire extinguisher. Yeah. Shut up.
Our
I'm
antics.
Kidding, I know.
He's acting like their shit was
one time
was
the,
smart.
The nine of us split a bottle of wine.
our biggest one being a beach party.
Okay.
Oh, he sent a picture. It's just him that they set up a beach in the hallway.
Okay, we apologize. That's a move.
Me and some buddies bought a 5-foot palm tree and some sand and turned our hallway into a beach.
Oh, God.
There were about 30 or so people in the hall at the time, some of them drinking. Long story short, I was put on deferred suspension. Wow. I had a small conduct history before but was never on probation. These are all these like bullshit college things, double
violation.
Secret, probation.
Double secret.
That's the thing. The other thing about like when you deal with sorority chicks, the funny thing they'll always do is like, we're on suspension. And they'll be like so stressed
dramatic.
Out
yeah,
and dramatic.
Yeah.
And you'll be like, what does that mean? They're like, I don't know. You know, like, but we're on
isn't
suspension.
It amazing?
Every girl does that.
Yeah. So I do think to some extent girls like, they manufacture adversity.
Yes.
They like it. And some level, I think you must enjoy it.
Yeah.
Because we don't give a shit. But yeah. Like, I live with a woman.
Okay.
And everything is not towards me. I'm not saying she's fighting with me.
No.
I'm just saying she's driving herself fucking insane over like stupid shit. We gotta get out the door. I'm like, yeah, it's 3 days from now.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't matter.
We have to pack for vacation. Like, you're talking about vacation.
Yeah, it's vacation.
Yeah, this is supposed to be fun. Long story short, I was put on deferred suspension. Which basically means one more offense, no matter how small, and you're suspended.
Oh.
Playing your music too loud, beer in the hallway, etc. Mm. This inevitably happened to me. A whole nother email. Good thing you didn't tell that story. And I'm now being suspended for the entirety of next year.
Whoa. Oh,
that's fucking huge. Him question. Him do I genuinely deserve to be suspended, or is this a reflection of the times in which we live? Also, are there any benefits to this situation? Thanks. First of all, I'm going to go back to what we said with the fraternity email.
Mm-hmm.
Stop blaming the world.
Yeah.
It happened.
You just
who
did
cares?
It. Yeah.
Who cares who's
gotta,
at fault?
You got to own
the
that
times
too.
We live in.
Yeah.
The times we live in. Dude, you fucked up.
Yeah, that's all it was.
Pay the reaper.
You got to own your mistakes just the same.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You know, you can't live your life that way. It's like, I always think of it like when you hear like rights activists.
Yeah.
Like I do believe like people have it harder, people mm-hmm. have it better. Yeah. Whatever, mm-hmm. but what are you gonna do?
Yeah, you gotta,
you know, like I never hear Hillary Clinton talking about how hard it is to be a woman.
No,
because she's fucking killing it.
She's got to do it.
You know what I mean? She's making dough over dough,
big dough,
and she's maybe you know gonna be a presidential nominee.
She's
so
500,000 a speech.
500. Yeah, you never hear Hillary Clinton complaining about the world we live in
no.
when she's getting 500K a speech. I don't care what your politics are. I'm just saying in general.
Bill gets 500 a speech in singles. Hey, holy, boom! Come on.
Jimmy never turns it off. On? That's why I love it. That's why I love bringing you on here. So I think that's the first thing he's got to do is get over it. You're fucked.
On.
It happened.
You want to know? This is the deal. Rather than us analyzing why it happened or how society affected their decision, you've got to make use of the year off. That's where your focus should
be. That's where you got to be.
Everybody's misappropriating emotional funds. Fuck why it happened. It's here.
It's here.
Necessity is the mother of invention. Now out the year. Go do something.
Well, that necessity is the mother. That's a great way to put it because here's the thing. Now, I've said this on past podcasts, when those guys that took a year off before college
uh-huh.
were better prepared for college because they knew what they wanted.
Yep.
They knew how to buckle down, when to, you know, so I think you go get a job.
There
and maybe
go.
Is in a may and maybe it's the shittiest job ever, but it's in a thing of that you're interested in.
Yep.
You know, so maybe you love radio.
There it
or
is.
Or maybe you love books or whatever it is, you know, whatever you're into, go take a shitty job in that industry
uh-huh.
and just live in it for a year and uh-huh. make a little money. Think about it. Know what it's like to wake up for a job. You'll have life experience that none of your college friends will have. And, you know, live in that and then you'll go back.
There you go.
And you won't fuck up the next time.
You'll have a better economy of the situation.
Lesson learned. And also, during pledging, the best lesson I ever learned, pledging's stupid. Mm-hmm. It's supposed, you look back with fond memories. That's how I made a lot of my friends. The best thing they did is that when you, during my pledging, is that when you were asked a question, you know, why did this go wrong? When you ask, why did something not happen? How did this not happen? And if you tried to explain yourself, people would be like, no, shut up. Because the only answer was no excuse.
Yeah.
There's no excuse. And there'll be times in life where this comes up all the time where someone goes, you're late? And you'll be like, well, the train was this, the train was that. No one wants to hear that. All people want to hear is no excuse.
Yeah, you're there.
My bad.
Happened.
I'm sorry. Now we're here. Let's move on.
Be accountable.
Be accountable. So it's a great lesson to learn is that this kid talking from his beach scene, and is this the society's fault? No excuse,
I just love
man.
This guy, though. Is it society's fault? I put up a fucking palm tree in the hallway.
Yeah.
What kind of world are we living in when a man can't dump sand and build a beach in a hallway? You built a fucking beach in a hallway, dipshit. We love you. Yeah. We appreciate your listenership.
You probably go to a state school, and you were caught drinking in the state school's hallway of the dorms where you're underage.
Listen,
what are they supposed to do?
To go back to that thing you saw me eating on TV. I was eating on TV next to a nutritionist who's going, and the goddamn Cheesecake Factory serves a 3,800. I'm like, yo, who's counting calories at a place called the Cheesecake Factory?
Yeah.
It's in the title.
It's like taking the Snickers bar and looking at the nutrition facts. It's a fucking Snickers bar.
It's over. You're past that point.
Yeah, you're in Snickers
just
bar territory.
Enjoy the calories. You've been suspended. Enjoy the calories.
TFMpodcast@gmail.com. Getting back at my ex. Hey, J-Train, I've been listening to the podcast. This is from a lady listener. Been listening to the podcast religiously for a little more than 6 months and absolutely obsessed, and got my girlfriends obsessed as well. Us chicks dig TFM too. Awesome. Always great. Get a great laugh. Anyway, here's my story. Just before I started listening to the podcast, my idiot of an ex broke up with me because, she puts in quotes, I let myself go.
Oh, man.
Oh, dude. This dude is all levels of horrible.
Yeah, he's a bad guy. And he knows nothing about women either.
That's the thing. We both sit here and we're like, it's a room full of guys.
Mm.
And we all sat here when we heard this email. We read it before we went on the air. We all did the, you fucking dick.
Hey, come on, man.
You can't make up a fucking excuse.
I was just going to say, even if you're going to do it for that reason.
Yeah, even if you are the devil reincarnated and you believe that's why you're dumping a girl.
You could do better than that.
You could do better with an excuse than that.
You owe her better. At least keep her around and verbally abuse her into an eating disorder. I mean, just not kidding.
But no, do what your mom brought you. Like, did this guy just have no parents? To me, like, if I was with a girl, like, every girl watches themselves a lot. Like, every girl knows when they put on weight because they put on clothes that inevitably tells them.
Yeah,
like, it's when you're uncomfortable in clothes, like, guys will wear sweatpants for 2 months straight.
That is funny. And you know how they say, like, a girl needs a friend who will tell her ass looks big in those pants? Yeah. No, you have pants that'll tell you that.
I can wear jeans that I don't wash for a month and they're stretched out to, like, another waist length.
Uh-huh.
Girls don't do that.
No.
You know, their pants will tell them the truth. So I'm saying, like, you know, if you're a guy out there whose girl has done this, but you care about the girl, you know, she'll get it eventually. And also, like, you know, you're doing, you know, the fun of, you know, of that is that you're now, like, you know, with a different type of chick.
There it is.
Yeah.
Never mind that she's probably hotter, thicker.
Yeah, she probably is hotter, thicker.
Let me tell you something, ladies, and you should, and you need to know this.
Yeah.
Eating is attractive to guys.
Yes.
Even if you're a skinny girl that's never going to gain weight just because genetically you can't, we still want you to eat so we can finish your food.
Yes.
Don't be the person who has the fucking pizza bird seed. Because a lot of times, like...
Oh, also the girl that, like... sorry to interrupt, but the girl that will, like... That will judge everyone's ordering.
Yeah.
Like, when, like, if you go on a date with a guy and the guy's like, oh, let's get the side of this.
Yeah.
And you're the girl that's like... I don't think we need the side.
No,
and it's like, no, that girl's no fun. She also thinks we don't need to, like,
listen,
you know, touch her anus a little bit.
If a meteor hits the planet tomorrow, are you going to wish you didn't have guacamole?
Totally.
Yeah, I'm just glad we didn't get that guacamole.
But I've never looked at a girl and been like, and told my friends about the girl in the loose yoga pants.
No.
No, I want the girl that fills them out.
Thick. Nicki Minaj. Think about Nicki Minaj right now. I mean, she's hot. I mean, go ahead. Sorry.
She writes, just before I started listening to the podcast, it broke up with me because I let myself go, and yes, that was his legitimate reason. What a douche nugget.
maybe
it was because you said douche nugget
didn't
so instead of sitting on my ass and feeling sorry for myself, I got my fat ass to the gym and lost 25 pounds.
Wow.
And guess who messages me after the transformation post on Facebook? I love that she posted the transformation on Facebook. None other than the douche lord himself. So I need your help to help me out. Please, please, please get all the TFM listeners to snap Brett Man 77 shit pics, because let's be real, he deserves it since he himself is a sack of shit. Brett with two T's, man. Brett, Brettman 77. Keep doing what you're doing. Love the podcast.
I'm upset with Brett about this. I'm not even because of how he handled it. He should have kept her around because she sounds like a sweet girl.
Yeah, and like, but also the thing about it is, like, dude, you're like, you can let yourself go.
Yeah,
like,
I know you're a guy.
Yeah.
Give me a break. That's the other thing too. It's a lifestyle.
Also, he left. That's the ultimate form of girlfriend confidence.
Yeah,
where, like, I think when you get a girlfriend, You just because there's someone that's touching your genitals, you think anyone would?
Yeah, no, it doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't work that way. But you do get a little bit more confident because you're looser to talk to girls. Uh-huh. You know, you're in that head frame where it's like, oh, look at it. I got this girl, you know, that loves me. So every girl would love me.
You know what girls don't realize too? Women run a local campaign. Let me explain this to you. Every woman has a specific thing in their body they don't like. The one thing more than anything else that drives them crazy. Could be their ass, could be their thighs, could be their tits, could be their shoulders, could be anything.
Yeah.
Women run a local campaign, and they have this one part of them that they hate. Guys are actually watching you run a national campaign.
Okay.
We're looking at the entirety of the structure,
yes,
and we can always find something to work with.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, our tits aren't great, but the rest is fucking fantastic.
Yeah,
or whatever. Whatever the case may be.
Yeah, we'll figure out a way to make this hot for us.
This girl's case,
yes,
who was a hot girl who might have gained a little bit of weight,
fine,
even better, because now it means you have less self-esteem, which means you'll do more in the sack. You know what I mean? There are victories everywhere.
Yeah, listen, always a glass half full.
That's what I'm doing
TFM
here.
TFMpodcast@gmail.com. TFMpodcast@gmail.com. We're going to do one more email, then we'll go to the news. This has been great, Jimmy.
Hanging out. So much
Jimmy
fun.
Fallon. Go check him out at Jimmy Fallon. Follow that car.
Bang.
That's the book. Go check it out. Here are the titles that I have.
Mm.
We can choose. Law. Here are the plot thickens. Long Dry Summer. Homegirls. That could be about black people or girls from home. Picky Virgin.
Or a baseball team. You don't know.
Yeah, that's true. Picky Virgin.
You know why I know Picky Virgin? Because anything with virgin in the title doesn't involve a good sexual experience.
True. Pussy Net is a trap. So the Pussy Net is something I've talked about where it's like the girl that you're hooking up with, and it's like when you put a net under your trapeze act, so you do wilder moves at the bar to try and get other chicks so because you have that net waiting for you.
Yeah, you work in the room.
He says that I gave him bad advice.
This guy? Well, that's what we got to handle.
Yeah, let's do it. Hey, Jay, run a train on your mom. Just wanted to write in to let you know that your advice has backfired. Long story short, I've been trapped by my own Pussy Net.
Whoa.
A couple months back, I was looking to expand my slam circle by
expand my slam circle.
I love that. Like that sounds like a drum circle, it does. It's a total opposite thing.
It also sounds like a cell phone promotion. You know, like they have friends and family. New Sprint slam circles.
Gotta get that
Sprint
slam circles. All the girls you fuck.
Unlimited data.
Yeah.
Unlimited gigabytes.
On one plan. By picking up a couple new passengers to Pound Town, I decided to go with your advice on setting up a pussy net. As you described, this was supposed to be like getting a net under a trapeze act, allowing me to take riskier moves at the bar, attempting to get laid.
Mm.
If it failed, I would always have that underneath me, allowing to go home and still get some.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the opposite has occurred. The pussy net is, in fact, a net that traps you. I would find myself too lazy to talk to chicks and take risks at the bar because I knew I was getting laid that night anyways, and I would just end up going home to my original slam in the end. It's like, why go through all the work to make a sandwich when you can just eat the one that's already made? So what if it's a little stale?
He's just
compared the girl that lets him touch her vagina to a stale sandwich.
She's flattered.
This is a pussy web.
Pussy web. I agree. What advice do you give on overcoming this if it's a serious issue many of my brothers are facing? What would we recommend, especially for those of us too weak to ditch the original net? Thanks and love the podcast. Don't use my name. Well, fuck it. No, first of all, the pussy net is working for him.
Yeah.
It is literally doing every... Here's the thing he's not doing.
Mm.
He's not doing the crazier moves.
Yeah, he's not out there. He's not horny. What I took away from this email is he's not horny enough.
Well, yeah,
if you're a horny enough guy...
Something's wrong with this
dude. No, the pussy net does work if you're horny. It's house money.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And the other thing is he's... the whole point of the pussy net is that you're saying that I have good enough at home.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to get greater. So maybe you're not putting yourself out there for greater.
That's the thing.
You might
just like this girl.
You might, and that's the other thing. That's the real thing is that he probably likes this girl. She's good. He probably likes hanging out with her. Yep. The thing about the pussy net becoming
this is a rom-com. Yeah. It's called Pussy Net.
Pussy
it
Net.
Stars Kathleen Heigl.
CBS this fall. but I'm saying like the pussy net becomes your real girlfriend. Because what you're doing is you're saying, yeah, that's not as fun. That's not as cool. I'd rather be with that cool chick. And that's really telling you that she's got to become a starter.
Yes, that's what you've learned here.
Yeah, this bench player,
if you're not
has
motivated,
been working her minutes.
Yes.
she's been getting, you know, hitting the boards.
It's time to recognize.
It's time to recognize her, make her the fifth man.
That's what's happening.
That's what I'm saying, right?
Yes, that's the evolution of this rom-com we're pitching to the yes. executives. It starts off as a pussy net where he's just going to have it on the side, but then they're in love by the end. I mean, yeah. This is great. I love this.
I totally agree. So maybe he's got to take a look in the pussy net mirror.
Yep.
And say to himself, this girl's the one.
Yes.
Give her a shot.
The pussy net mirror. They have them at IKEA.
Yeah. Sell them all over the place.
Bin 13D.
Guys, tfmpodcast@gmail.com. Jimmy, thank you for coming on. This has been amazing.
We'll always have this.
Per usual.
This is great, man. What a great hang.
Gotta have you back.
I love your fans. I love tweeting with your fans.
It's great.
Somebody always sends you a dick, a turd, and a beer within 5 minutes of being on the show, which
perfect.
Is fun for me.
Always great. So send Jimmy all that stuff at Jimmy Falla, JimmyFalla on Twitter. The book is called Follow That Car. You can see him on the Jim Gaffigan Show. Also, he's on Fox Business Channel and the Kennedy Show
Hot
all the
channel.
Time. Great channel.
Like if you actually,
it's right below the one you want to go to.
Yes, right below the one you want to go to. If you watch me on Fox Business, like I'm actually on camera talking and saying things. If you watch me on Gaffigan, you might see my neck.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Jimmy's neck.
An arm.
Jimmy's shoulder can be seen on Comedy Central sometimes, but more probably on TV
Land. I really speak in like two episodes and it's minimal. Kennedy, you're on the show, but
yeah,
yes.
You crush those segments. They're great.
Thank you, buddy.
So go check them out. We're going to come back with the news in just a hot second. Keep sending those emails. Keep telling your friends. We'll be back in just a hot second. Thanks, man.
I can't say life's a bitch because it's what you make or make. You make your own bitch, so you got to name it.
Hey, guys. Welcome back. We're going to do some news. Jimmy, thank you for coming on, man.
Of course.
Jimmy Falla. You can go follow him on Twitter, at Jimmy Falla. Fantastic episode. Dude, you crush it every time. It was a good hang. I always like seeing you. And this is just a repeat of whenever we hang out.
That's what it
see
was.
Each other at the club.
I kind of felt like you believe the hype. You
I
know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I felt like it worked out. We have great club hangs.
Good club hangs. Mm-hmm. Good shit talking, which is always fun. Man Sam.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for coming on. You're bringing the news.
Yep.
I keep cutting out on my earphone. Am I cutting out on the mic?
No, right, you're
cool.
Coming through.
Let's do some stories. Let's hear it.
So a man sues Miller Coors for falsely advertising Blue Moon as a craft beer. Is the headline. And I hate this guy immediately.
Fuck this guy.
Yeah. Fuck this guy.
Come on.
It's Evan Parent of San Diego. Oh.
These beer people are getting out of control.
The fucking beer snobs?
Yeah, the beer snobs are
it's
getting
beer.
Out of control.
It's beer.
It's getting ridiculous.
People treat beer like it's like everything that people are into.
Yo, yeah, go ahead.
Is annoying.
It just drives me crazy.
I don't care what you're
learn
into.
To like something without being annoying about it. You're right about that. They do it to you. Have you ever met Breaking Bad people?
Oh, I've talked about this all the time.
Oh,
they're the worst.
All right, I don't want to recover any ground. No,
no,
please.
They fucking
I've
never talked about
crazy.
It on this podcast. They drive me insane.
It's a fucking episode where it's a fly flying around a factory for an hour. You didn't enjoy that.
Also,
I know it's cool to say you like it, but like, let's go back to beer for a second. In the overall, like the culinary scheme of things, and if you break down alcohol as gourmet food,
yeah.
Beer is sloppy Joe.
Right.
You guys are fucking dolling up sloppy Joe
yes.
or manwiches or whatever the fuck, steakums.
Beer
I'm not
like
saying
the
they're not good, but it doesn't need this level of pretension. You're taking away what it is.
Totally agree. Here's my point on that is uh-huh. people only brag about the shit they're into if it's easy to get into.
Yep. Okay,
I was just you know what
say,
I mean? Like, yep. They didn't read a 4,000-page book or...
Nope.
You know, like, I mean, marathons, that's my reason I think marathons are easy.
Yeah.
All you have to be good at for a marathon is shutting your brain off.
Yeah, just shut off and go.
Yeah, just shut your brain off and have nothing to think about for 2 hours. Because they don't stop the race after 10 hours. You uh-huh. could finish at 12 hours long and everyone would be like, you did it, man.
Yeah, don't give a shit. You did it. You ran a marathon.
Thank you. You did it.
You ran a marathon.
Yeah. So I'm just saying anything that like people are into is so many times it's never like, I learned this language. I really want to tell you.
Yeah.
About how great it is to right. You should learn.
It's beer.
Portuguese.
Again.
You have to learn Portuguese.
Gotta,
no one ever says that. It's always
no.
like, you have to watch this thing that just all you have to do is sit and open your eyes.
Right. Well, anytime you go to a bar with like a, you know, that's craft beer or whatever, you go, oh, I think I'm going to get XYZ beer. And they're like, oh, I was thinking about trying that. It's
no.
like, you don't know.
No gives it. You were thinking about that?
Yeah, exactly.
How empty is your life?
Also, IPAs. I'm sorry, everybody. They taste like fucking crap.
They're not great.
Not great.
They're not great.
They're always too much. It's always too much of like that.
Yeah, think about this. The real beer lovers, people that play like beer league softball.
Okay, yes.
They're not drinking IPA after
no,
the game.
No, they're taking swill.
And if they are, they're losing every game. That is not a good softball
team. Yeah, they're just really into the outfits.
Yeah.
Let's go to the next story.
Next story. This is an interesting one. A woman copyrights her boobs to get naked pics offline.
I mean, this is where we're going, right?
Yeah, it was a revenge porn situation. Yeah,
I mean, go ahead.
Well, this is the one thing I never understood about that. How about don't draw attention to the fact that they're your tits? Because I've always seen this. I know they put them on revenge porn, and it's right. a frustration because it's on a site, and in some cases, people can confirm your identity.
Yeah. Right.
But I think most of the time, the footprint, like the traffic that'll go to your picture and have people know it's you is very limited to people who know it's you.
Yeah, I don't understand how big of a loser. Mm-hmm. Do you have to be to put out revenge porn?
Yeah, it's the end.
Like, are you, is that literally the last vagina you'll ever get in your entire life? Is that how sad you are?
But it should also
be. Are you that less confident?
It should also be inspiring to people out there that anyone can get laid. Because if yeah, these people can get laid, because these people are losers. And they're not back end losers. They were losers on the front end.
That's what I'm saying. Right. These people, the reason they put it up is that they think that this is the last person that will ever get with them. Yeah. They have such little self-esteem that they think the only way to get back, because they'll never have sex again.
Yes.
So they have to get that person that let them down.
It's also a thing of like a Reddit thing where like you're kind of like running back to your internet friends to
here's how I know they're losers.
Be a part of that group, you know.
They're on anything that starts with a Reddit thing.
It's
I know
over.
You fucking don't get
you've already lost. You and your fucking robot and your revenge titties.
Reddit saying Reddit is just social boner killer. Right. Just say the word Reddit and I'm like, I don't want to talk to this person. I don't even want to like be in the same room as this
We're
person.
We're about to get 80,000 assault messages.
Yeah,
right now.
Go fuck yourself, Reddit people. I don't even know how to click on the site.
There it is.
The site. Have you ever been on that site? You can't click on anything. No. It's like, here's a link to like, revenge porn. Then you click on the link and it's like a bunch of people talking about
sub-links,
revenge porn.
Sub-threads, sub-room.
You have to be the biggest nerd ever to even click on links.
No. Yeah, it's confusing. Right, I mean, like if you go on and you're looking at the top links, that's one thing, the main page, right, but all these subreddits and shit, I don't know.
And all those
works,
people,
right?
Reddit became a big thing for comics because they started, there was one dude that was like helping comics like put their, you know, it was actually really nice. They were taking people's pictures of people with their jokes next to them and putting it on Reddit to try and like up people's social media, you know, presence as comics. And then all these fucking Reddit losers took them and started stealing the jokes and putting them on other pictures. They all were they had too much internet savvy. Do you know what I mean? To even spread the word. No, fuck those people.
I thought you were going to say it as sort of like a directory of like, so people can't be joke thieves, where it's like, we know that that's a Jared Free joke.
Well, I mean, hypothetically, that is a nice thing. But, you know, even if they have the savvy to take a joke from one thing to put it on something else without acknowledging that person, fuck those people.
Yeah, there's a dude on Twitter. I don't know his name or I would name him, but he is famous, like famously stealing jokes. But he got a nice write-up in the New York Times about the success of the account and how it's acknowledged that he's stealing the jokes, but he's managed to have 10 million followers.
Fat
and he's
Jew.
Is that
Fuck
his name?
Jerry, Fat Jew. I read the article.
Yeah, I read it.
Yeah, what they say, this is a real issue, is that we've taken the word, and we had this issue on the podcast, we've taken the word, what's the word? I'm looking at that. I don't even know the word anymore. When you copy someone's material.
Oh, plagiarism.
We've replaced the word plagiarism with fashioning an audience.
Yeah.
Reposting.
Retweeting.
No, what's it called? Now, this is really good radio.
A tribute?
Curating.
Oh,
that's we've taken the word plagiarism and we've replaced it with curating.
Yeah, they're not a museum.
They do it. By the way, they do it in rap. Every rap song now has a lyric, like a verse of like a Biggie Smalls song or something like that.
That's the thing. Like you should. The thing is, you should have to. It's plagiarism. You should have give the person credit. And also, if you have 10 million followers, you should be thanking that person who gave you that thing to curate to say, I enjoyed this person. You should enjoy. And if a tenth of those people, you're doing a nice thing for them. There's such a thing as internet currency, and the currency is followers. We had the thing where we named the podcast episode.
I don't remember. It was a while ago.
It was
but
a long time
London
ago.
Keys. Yeah,
London Keys is a porn star. Mm-hmm. And the name of the episode was... hand jobs or a speed bump on the way to sex.
Yeah.
And it had a link to the podcast episode. That was the name of the podcast episode. And she just took the name and just tweeted that. And it was like, well, you should. She goes, I, and then she responded. I was like, and when, you know, man said, Chris,
I was
saw
following
it.
Her. I saw it. And I was like, that's really familiar. I was like, oh, that was the name of the TFM from this week. And so I added him and I was like, look at this.
Yeah. And I said to her, I was like, hey, you could give credit to where you found that. If you found that
something,
line funny.
Something for the doorman.
Yeah. A little right. something for the doorman. And it's like, and then my buddies were like, oh, dude, you take it too. Like, people will get on me, like, I'm the bad guy. No, what they'll do is they'll say, oh, man, you're being a baby about it. But it's like, no.
No.
To me, a follower is as good as, you know, some money exchanges in comedy.
Yeah, right. It's currency.
You know, you look at how so many people, that guy has 10 million followers, and he's also now getting, you know,
deals,
TV,
marketing
TV
situations,
deals, marketing yep. situations, all that shit that people yep. don't realize. And, you know, I kind of have my own thing. It's like, well, listen, they're going to get in a situation where they're going to have to write their own material and fuck it up.
Up
and it's going to
yeah.
be shit. But, you know, the internet to me is a market lag. You know, mm-hmm. it's not a market leader.
Yeah.
You know, all the stuff on the internet that you read and think is funny is being reproduced from TV
yeah.
and from original people that are getting paid to do it.
Yep.
And you want to think that, like, that guy on YouTube is so funny. Yeah. That guy on YouTube is doing hack jokes. You know, that were done before and a thousand times before. And now he has this great following and, you know, he can do whatever he wants because the following's there.
Fuck him, Kardashian. We broke the internet.
Yeah.
We just broke the internet.
No, but I know as a comic, yeah. and you probably see this too, you go to these people to, like, pitch stuff and they're like, well, you don't got the big name to
oh,
go with it.
They love that.
And it's like, well, yeah, but, like, this is a great idea. And then they're like, well, you know, like, you're not outrageous enough. This person's outrageous. Yeah. They do outrageous jokes. Yeah. It's like, no, they're yeah. just taking other people's outrageous jokes.
He's curating.
Curating, yeah. It's called...
there's a lot of comedy karaoke in the world right now.
Yeah, it's interesting.
People
but
are just doing other people's
I don't even
stuff.
Know how we got down this road. What were we even talking about?
Oh, I scrolled away from it. We were talking about
copyrighting
the boobs.
So
yeah.
that's why, like, I know this is ridiculous. This is like a... But that is like a... She's probably a feminist, I'm assuming, or yeah. some sort. Or she was fucked over by this whole...
Yeah, I mean, she was fucked over by it. She, I think, was just
she's an extreme example of something that's happening every single day.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, her boobs needing to be copyrighted, like, yeah, so is that one line I wrote.
No, right. It's a low-level violation.
That was a form
sure.
of entertainment that yeah. people are getting for free
mm-hmm.
that they are then taking and using
Think about this. Do you give a shit about the opinion of people who go to those websites? Like, if you're a girl, think of who's posting revenge porn. Think
yeah.
about who's engaging in revenge porn.
It's
you
tough.
Know what a low-quality person you're dealing with. Like, I'm willing to just let them be what they are.
Devil's advocate. Yeah. I can understand why they're like, well, my
yeah.
fucking body's
yeah,
like
oh,
that.
I get that. But
you know,
I'm saying
if it was
it's just your tits.
I was
if
just
it's
wondering
just if, your tits,
yeah.
right.
if she's only copyrighting her tits, not her face, if it's just your tits, how would they know they're your tits?
I don't think it's the problem of the tits. I think it's more the problem of the commenters on the tits, like a bunch of fat idiots that are like, yeah, man, I wouldn't get with those. And it's like, yeah, you fucking would.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
if my
would.
Dick, if my dick was on a website, and then everyone was just commenting on my dick, I'd be like, well, listen, you know,
would you
it's
take
not
it,
a
you,
horrible dick.
It'd be personal for you.
I'd take it a little personally. I'd be like, come on, it's a strong medium.
You couldn't be, couldn't be anonymous.
Yeah, I couldn't be let that be.
Yeah, I mean, basically that's the whole. But she did it under the digital information, like millennia. Okay. You know, like the same thing you'd do if. Game of Thrones got downloaded.
We're tying up an actual court system.
Like, yes.
Soldiers are fighting to preserve this
the
court system.
The best part about this is that
democracy.
An old man in a suit has to get up and be like, these tits were copyrighted.
Well, that's the thing. She had to go to the clerk to like file, and she had to
yeah.
show the pictures that she wanted to take down because she had to prove that she had the pictures and
but
blah, blah.
She's like
a,
you know, they're right now we're at a new time. It's the Wild West. She it's could be considered, West. You know, the Golda Meir.
Yeah.
Of titties.
Write that down for a title.
Yeah, yeah. Golda Meir titties. Let's go to the next story.
All right, we'll do one more quickly. Texas has officially approved campus carry. Like you can
what
just
is that?
You can
carry
have
a gun,
gun
on campus
to class.
I'm not. The gun thing is strange to me.
Mm.
It's like another version of the Breaking Bad thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the people that are really passionate about guns. Aren't really the issue.
Yeah.
Like they like there was another story of a guy going to the airport
mm-hmm. right.
with a
oh,
huge
yeah, yeah,
rifle.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just
AR-15,
a guy yeah,
yeah.
and he was taking pictures with yeah. everybody. He was laughing about it. And it's like, dude, I understand what you're doing, and I'm like happy you're happy about that. But also understand that like there's a trickle down to this.
Yeah.
And I hate the slippery slope argument, it never leads to a good place. But when you're saying I want all the freedoms allowed with my guns, but like no mental health checks. You're allowing the mentally insane to also have the same.
It's not the best.
Right.
It's not the best thing. So
they'll say they're gonna get him. The criminals are gonna get him anyway.
Yeah.
But wouldn't you want to make it a little harder for them?
Yeah, I'd
rather see how it helps us.
And they're not at the airport, and they're not in your English class.
Take this away from a gun argument, you're just an asshole.
Yeah.
You're the same as the Breaking Bad guy, doing it to be antagonistic. Yeah, you're the
intentionally
same as,
antagonistic.
But even the guy that if you go to school with your gun because you're allowed to, you're the same as the guy that's being like, you don't watch Breaking Bad? Like, you're just pressing a little too hard to show how cool you are.
But that's what's if you want to talk about this society, everything that is an issue in this society, be it a news story, a political issue, people are now taking like very aggressive stances to align it with their politics. You know, the Duggar thing is really interesting because like there, if you're on the right, there are people like really actively and aggressively defending the Duggars, which can be done.
Yeah.
And people are on the left are like, oh, fuck these people. It's the Republicans' fault. They're Christian. But I think within each of these stories is not a black and white issue.
It's all gray.
And that's what happens.
Nobody gets on a pulpit to talk about that gray issue.
No one wants to give. No one represents the gray.
Gray never gets clicks.
No one gives
and
gray
that's
shit.
That's the real thing. And the thing with the Duggars, like, to me, it's like, fuck, your family's fucked.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, sorry.
Well, that's what they say.
I don't think this is a representation of society. I don't think you could have other things that you profess about just because you got one kid that's fucked up. Everyone has a fucked up kid.
Everybody's got a fucked up kid.
Doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on.
If you got 19 of them,
you're going to have a few.
There's going to be some duds. I've bought fireworks before in Chinatown.
Look to your right. Look to your left, kids. One of you's touched your sister.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. You know, it's just like, why does everyone just like fucking cool it?
Because that's what it is. I don't think they're carrying guns on campus in the name of anything but antagonism.
Yes.
Like that law that's got passed is, right? To be like, well, fuck you left. Just the way people on the left want to pass laws for the same reason.
No, but the left does it with the thing like when they had that the cartoon festival.
Yeah.
Where they were like the Muhammad cartoon festival.
Oh, well, that, Republican. That crazy bitch is a
was that
Republican?
What was that?
She's Republican.
Whoever it was
the
like,
left ain't
are
doing
you
that.
Serious?
Why don't we fly to Iran and have that same thing? Let me break it down this
tough
way.
Tough nuts.
You can't be anti-gun.
Yeah.
And pro Muhammad drawing contest. You've got to be very pro gun
if
you're going to be pro Muhammad drawing contest.
The Muhammad drawing contest to me was so fun. Like, it's horrible what happened, but it's funny that, like, Tommy Toughnuts is sitting there, like, yeah, we'll have a Muhammad drawing contest in Texas.
Yeah.
Like, oh, really? That was, of all, even in there, it drew an issue.
Ended bad.
It ended badly.
Issue, you mean several deaths. Who's ready for some jokes?
I don't even know if we should check that. Should we cut that out?
No, it's fine.
Not to be disrespectful to the people who died, but also like, come on, like,
yeah. Well, nobody died in that. We talked about this on our podcast.
Nobody died in that.
No.
Oh, okay.
So, well, just the one security guard got like shot in the leg, but he was fine.
Oh,
it was MSP.
You get a plaque.
He's
extra day
an
off.
Asshole, anyways.
Yeah. It was MSP, whatever number it was, but it was two assholes don't make a right. It's like this chick showing up there to try to antagonize Muslims, but guess what? They did actually show up and shoot at people. So it's like they're both.
I don't trust anybody who cares about anything too much.
No. It's not.
It doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on. If you
need
care
balance
too
in
much,
your life.
You need balance. If you are pro anything, I'm always like, listen.
Guy needs to relax.
You gotta
remember the Chris Rock.
Have
bit?
A beer.
He's like, the world needs doesn't need love.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, if you like hot dogs, you like hot dogs. But if you love hot dogs, you're a fucking animal.
Something's wrong with you. Yeah. TFMpodcast@gmail.com. Chris, thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me, man.
Go follow Chris on Twitter, @ManSamp. He's got the Mandatory Samson podcast, releases every Friday morning.
Correct.
So that comes out. Jimmy, thank you. You were great.
Come on, this was awesome.
Awesome.
Love
we'll have
show.
You back
the
at
best.
Jimmy Fallon. Go check him out. Go support him. Fantastic comic. Good guy. Go support him when he's doing. Also, spread the word about the podcast, tfmpodcast@gmail.com. We want to hear your stories. We want to hear your questions. And we're here every Tuesday. Tell a friend. I know you're home for the summer, and this is a really good time where you're going and seeing new people. And would love for you to like keep pushing that along to people, because that's really a cool favor that you're doing, and it keeps this thing running and keeps this ship floating. So tfmpodcast@gmail.com. Keep sending those. We will see you next week. I'm Jared Fried, @JTrain56 on all platforms. See you next week.